Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Bill Mayer. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson. Wayne Nelson is here from L&M Commodities, along with Kirk Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. And there you can pick up your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up the 20th day of November there in Normal, Illinois. And if you've not picked up your tickets, they're just $40. I think we probably have one of the best events we've ever put together. In fact, I was reading a press release this week from ADM, Bungie, and Cargill, and it included Dreyfus, though they aren't quite there just yet with these three, talking about how they'll be using blockchain potentially in the future to track characteristics of the sales. And I can think of that in my terms as metadata, sort of the things that might come along with photos or videos that tell you the GPS coordinates, who might be in the video, some other items about, you know, what it was shot on, a Canon or a Nikon. So same sorts of things can happen with blockchain. And in fact, we're going to take this up in our very first session with Anheuser-Busch and McDonald's, both end users, that are reaching all the way back already today to you, the producer, to gather some characteristics, kind of like this metadata that the blockchain might carry along with it. And Syngenta will be there. They have a piece of software that can manage a lot of that, even if you don't bother to use their particular products. And we'll have with us Clarkson Grain Company out of Cerro Gordo. Now, they do non-GMO and organic, but they're into this marketplace and following these characteristics all the way through. It looks as if we're going to have a broad change in the way the markets move and sales are made within the next 5 to 10 years. You need to be out in front of that. I'd love to have you there for the Farm Assets Conference. Again, that's the 20th day of November. It is in Normal, Illinois. The cost is just $40. You can find all the details online at willag.org or farmassetsconference.com. Now let's begin our discussion about the commodities and what's been happening this week. Kirk Kimmel, I think I'll start with you. And this week, up through Thursday, not very pretty, in particular on Thursday, as the market began to fall off. Why has that happened?
Well, it's kind of several factors. One is we did have an 80 cent up in the beans and a 35 cent up in the corn off those lows, and we were a little overextended. Two, we priced in some wet weather and some decent export news. But as the week went on, I think investor confidence kind of shrank. We saw the dollar rise. We saw the Dow fall out of bed. So there's a little investor confidence concern there. Then, too, Thursday morning we came in and just totally got surprised by the weekly export sales report that came in lower than expected. Then, lastly, Russia was in also talking about not curbing wheat exports. So there were several factors that all gelled going into Thursday's trade.
So this turned into something that was kind of ugly on Thursday, not horrible, but set the tone down at the bottom end, I think, of the technical range?
Well, wheat's a disaster now. If we can't get December wheat back above $4, it's probably going to slowly bleed here for a while. We're supposed to have the cheapest wheat in the world, and we're not getting those sales. The sales are running behind, so wheat's kind of the one to watch. If it's going to be the leader, hopefully it's not the leader to the downside. Bean-wise, we're down to a 62% retracement back down to the low, so technically it's an area it needs to hold in through here. We're seeing a situation too where South America might turn too wet. Hopefully here they'll have a problem and get this thing turned around. Corn wise, we're not quite halfway back down to the lows. Corn fundamentally, another, you know, 2, 3, 5 cents hopefully will catch here and stabilize.
Hey, Bill Mayer, I want to pick up on the wheat for just a second. As I talked to the meteorologist about Europe in particular, where the bulk of the wheat is grown for the planet, on both hemispheres, northern and southern, so for the whole of the year, they've been suffering through a drought that started very early in the year, sometime I think in May, has continued now. Usually we don't worry a lot about a crop. However, an overwintering crop that's come into the ground in these kinds of conditions might be something worthwhile to watch.
Yeah, I'd seen some pictures on the internet, on Twitter, and that earlier this week from Germany, and things really look pretty rough over there from that standpoint. We also have some problems in Argentina, really, as far as they're concerned. And Australia, of course, had a poor crop earlier this year. So I think everybody was really of the mind that we could hold. It's going through this $5 level on the nearby was really kind of a surprise, I believe. I think we have everything just kind of in a very uncertain situation globally. There's a lot of concern starting from the Chinese economy and how that's going to affect the global economy. You know, we have this these bomb threats over here, or bomb that have been delivered over here. I mean, that's unstable, non-stable situation. I think from a world perspective, that looks like that's scary to the rest of the world. So I think all that just kind of combined to get that wheat going lower here today. I agree with Kurt. It'd be nice if we get back above that $5 level before the week's out here. If we can, I think you're probably looking about another 35-cent drop in the market. So fundamentals really haven't had a lot to do with what we've been looking at here this week.
Well, let's come back to some of the fundamentals, Jackie Vakes, for halfway through the harvest or thereabouts for corn. Coming to that for soybeans, we've got a long ways yet to go, especially when you go to the west, and not very far to the west. The I-State, Iowa, is running well behind. What does that mean to the marketplace?
Well, I think, you know, the market definitely depends on the results that we're seeing out in the fields. And, you know, when you have you're seeing some phenomenal results. I sat with someone yesterday who was bragging about that. He had an 86 bushel average on beans on 1,000 acres. You know, you can't complain about that for certain. But I think that the worst situation is still to come. We haven't seen the results of the rains that we've had. You know, and in traveling, and which, you know, I've been doing, there's just a tremendous amount of beans that are standing out there yet. I'm surprised they're standing. I've only seen a few fields that were really down along the freeway. But, you know, every time you see a field that's been attacked by the wind, and we've got plenty of wind, it just makes for more field loss is what it is. And so I think as we go forward, everybody's going to be paying a lot closer attention to what the farmer is saying about what's happening out there.
Yet they haven't so much to this point. Do you think this really can make a difference in the marketplace?
Well, I think they've got most of the worst-case scenario priced in. In other words, I think most of the highest yields are probably into the marketplace. Maybe we'll crawl a little bit yet. But at the same time, we have so many outside forces, Todd, that are affecting this marketplace. You know, you look at that, we're just talking about wheat. When you talk about wheat, and you look at the value of our dollar. You know, wheat is not a big export market for us. And when the dollar goes the way it is, it's being hurt more and more. I think, too, you have to look at the soybean situation, and the Pacific Northwest and North Dakota, South Dakota almost have lost their market. And so are they going to plant as many beans next year, or are they just actually going to go to wheat and more wheat? You know, and I think all of that is being kind of talked about in the background. And there's just no definitive pattern as to what's really going to happen at this point.
No definitive pattern, she says. However, the Secretary of Agriculture in Champaign County on Wednesday evening repeated several times, Wayne Nelson, when asked about trade and trade mitigation, that the United States had become too dependent on China as a customer for soybeans, and that we needed to diversify, and that next year there would not be a 2019 payment and for the trade policies that are in place, because they are now in place and farmers should adjust their acreage.
That's exactly what he said, Todd, and I think they've got all the bearishness in this market listening to the other three people here today. I guess I'm going to look for something positive. You know, we looked at the Decatur corn bases. They're done harvesting around Decatur. The bases went from 20 under to unchanged to 7 over if you asked for it, and 10 over for next week. you know, on a bid. The farmer has locked up this grain. It's not flowing. The ethanol plants, which is our big thing to keep things moving, and it is still going at a profit, the farmers are locking it up. They're going to get this basis move in. Will we get a great price? Probably not, but they did get basis improvement for putting their corn in the bags, in the bin, and whatever. The beans, sad story. We're seeing a lot of damage in Iowa, anywhere from 2 to 39%, depending on that. You go down to the mid-south, same difference. In our area, if you planted one or two varieties, and I don't know which seed corn or which company it was, but they were very vulnerable to stink bug, and they ruined it and took some of the yields instead of 60 to 80 down to 30 to 40. And there's a lot of guys that are very, you know, upset with that number and whatever. But all along, when it comes down to it, is we've got a lot of things that are going to mount up, but it's going to still take exports. We've got to get right with the world, and we've got to start talking to the Chinese.
So should producers on the idea, at least around ADM, around central Illinois, when they see this pop, or maybe around an ethanol plant in Iowa, because they'll be putting things away, when they see these basis pops, should they actually market the crop on that? Should they go ahead and open the bin door up and make a cash sale?
Well, I think if it fits your marketing plan or your goals and objectives, seasonally we get harvest out of the way. We have the basis narrow into mid-December, so there's some time in here. I think basis will continue to narrow. And Bill was dead on sitting in that chair a month ago saying these commercials are going to look around and find out where's the corn at. And he was dead on. And Wayne was right, too, to Decatur there. So I think basis-wise, you've got time. However, price, flat price is a little bit of a concern here if we can't hold. One thing you need to keep in back of your mind is crop insurance is done here this month. So if you're worried about some downside price risk, you might want to have a crash protection put in place. Then just kind of hang on and see if we can't rally out of the hole seasonally into middle of December.
Well, I think that the basis, as Kurt said, was kind of what we expected once the farmer got the stuff put away. But we are talking about Decatur, Illinois. There's still some corn to be harvested in some of the other areas of the country. I think the same thing will occur if the farmer gets it put away. But let's also look at the fact that we have a lot of corn that's in bags. We have a lot of corn that's put on ground piles. And I think our window's pretty short here. So I think a person needs to have a pretty aggressive marketing plan, looking at strictly from the cash basis standpoint, between now and, say, Christmas, to get some basis locked in, at least from that standpoint, so that you can move that corn and get it before I think we could have a second harvest as we get into the first of the year on corn. On beans, I just think this basis, we're going to know a lot in the next 3 weeks. If the basis doesn't improve on beans in the next 3 weeks, then that's telling us something, because now's when we really need to be moving the soybeans out of the country.
Yeah, I agree. I have to just go back. I always get such a kick out of it when some bureaucrat tells the farmer that he's supposed to adjust his planting according to what we don't know for sure is ever going to show up, right? I mean, we know for sure right now that we're not going to get any, that there's not going to be any subsidy for next year or anything else. Do we know that for sure? Not really. But I think one of the things that I've been focusing on is, and I think this is another reason that all the guys have to really pay attention to the corn price and be willing to make sales, is, you know, last year we saw a lot of front loading on beans. You know, when you looked at export inspections, this year we're seeing a tremendous amount of front loading on corn on export inspections. We're up 73% above a year ago, okay? So everybody says, well, what does that mean? Well, last year we all felt maybe it was leading to the fact that China was going to back off. Well, now I think it could be leading to the fact that we might find ourselves actually in a trade war with Japan, because both China and Japan have been very irresponsible when it comes to following WTO and a lot of the rules that go on there. And there are some lawsuits that are going on, and I think we could be looking at that with Japan coming down the road here. So what happens to us if that's the case? Why haven't you guys made the sales or taken the steps to cover yourself? You know, we're in such a situation where there's so much flux going on between politics, weather, you know, South America. You got to be more concerned about your business and what you need to do to protect your business.
You probably just scared folks who were thinking about soybeans being a problem with China. And corn, a problem with Japan. That could be a really rough deal.
Well, it could be, but I think that we have to be realistic. You know, when we look at this bigger picture, I still think underneath all of the trade war per se, it's there for a reason. And it's because we've had people and countries who have used these export tariffs against us. And so, you know, that's what's supposed to be monitored. And if that's the case, then I would expect that we'd see the current administration possibly move forward and do something to try and change that. And even though we hate it in the short term, I think in the long term it could be good. But all I'm saying is, you got to remember there are things in the background. The other next thing is, okay, so we get the trade war straightened out with China, and beans go back up. Now let's look at where the U.S. dollar is, and how competitive are we at the U.S. dollar? We're not. You know, and so it's a circumstance where we just have to really stay on top of things. And when you see opportunities, take advantage of them. Don't sit there and say, well, I'd like another 5 or 10 cents. It just doesn't pay a lot of times, or most times.
Matt Bennett on Thursday afternoon during the closing market report, Wayne, reminded us that Darrell Good tells us that the futures market tells us where the market believes the price should be when we look out. What does that tell you about the expiring months and how expiration will go over the next several months?
Well, Todd, in a case like this, when we have large supply, generally we, instead of going up when it gets there, we go back to where it went off. And that's sort of what we're looking at here, as I think Dan talked about it on Thursday, and also Matt did too. We need, if you're going to store till July and you see nice carry in the market, did we remember to sell the July? No, most people haven't, but, you know, that's the way it is. And, like, if you've sold out in the July and like that, when you get the zero basis or the plus 10 basis, take advantage of it. You can still use that same hedge out there or go on with it. So I think along the way that we have to take advantage when we see the basis narrow in here, we have to hold our position. Okay, if we take the cash here and we want to buy a call, you know, take it in there. But buy somewhat of a nearby one and keep going month to month, because if you go out and pay for the carry, you're going to eat it all up and isn't going to work.
Just a point of clarification. So when you say see, when you see the price, go ahead and do that for July. Are you talking about go ahead, I've got it stored till July, and go ahead and price out cash-wise for July or something else?
Well, it could be either way. If you've got the corn at home and you want to, and you feel it's in good condition and you want, and you can get a July cash bid with a decent basis that gives you your carry, yes, that's great. Have a July contract. But you don't have to have that. You might have some in bags that you want to move come January or February. You know, you maybe hedged it in the July or whatever out there, but you know, you're still carrying. It's got the movement with it. You can price your basis, move it when you need to. And if you need to, you know, put a put underneath it, or you know, price the cat if you don't price it, and if you do price it and you feel like you want to buy a short call, but like I say, keep the calls more nearby and plan on rolling them month to month, because if you go out and buy a July and it's 20 cents, you're paying for that carry already yourself, plus paying the extra time value. So I'm saying stay closer with your options.
No, Wayne did an excellent job explaining that. You don't go out and pay a bunch of premium in through here, because even if you do, the odds are volatility is going to come down during the winter unless we run into some South American weather, and you don't want to lose that. Now, if you stored the grain, you did an excellent job doing that because you have picked up some basis appreciation. Now, the key is to actually physically capture the carry here as we move forward, and even look at new crop. New crop corn above $4, you know, do a scale up selling program there. You're selling some higher value there and try to capture some of that to play catch up here over the next 6 to 8 months.
Hey, Bill, I want to know, because I'm sure you follow this pretty closely. October, of course, is another crop insurance setting month. We're most of the way through it. Has it made any difference at all? I think probably not. And then if that is the case, can you talk to me a little bit about what producers with grain in storage that commercially that are going to have to make a decision maybe within the next week or so, what they might want to do?
Okay, as far as the crop insurance prices, the soybeans, we're down today, so I'm not exactly sure what's going to come in, but it's going to be somewhere around that 865, I think was the number I was using today, which is, ironically, of almost exactly 15% below the 1016 spring price. So what that means is if you have, like, your APH yield on beans, then you possibly are looking at a claim. Most guys are in a situation where they have higher than APH yields, but there are some areas, in fact, I talked to one today, where he's going to be right at his APH, so we're going to look at it, see if we need to turn in a claim. On corn, the yields have pretty much taken people out of the claims because prices have come back pretty good here in October. Depending on there, again, there are some areas where yields are lower. As far as the guy who has the commercial stores needs to be making a decision on soybeans, I've been really going through this with guys. Know where you're at, revenue per acre. Add in your sales you made ahead of time, what you got now price-wise. I did one just the other day for a guy. He said, oh, I can't be selling under $8 beans. We kind of went through and figured it all out with the market facilitation payment and everything, and he was at about $700 an acre. Well, that's 70 bushel beans at 10 bucks. That's a pretty good sale. So know where you're at before you make that decision.
Did you make that at 82 and a half or a buck 65?
82 and a half
cents.
Well, buck 65 on 50%.
Todd, one thing I did want to bring up, you asked about crop insurance, one thing, if you have this high damage in your beans, you don't have to have a crop loss. You can also have something where you can turn in the damage that was caused out there because of this. So if you do have high damage, talk to your agent, talk to your adjuster, make sure you get that claim because you're going to be hurting on yield if you have all this, and you're going to get a dollar or two docked off your price, and this can be made up with your crop insurance, but you have to make sure it's not your grade. It has to be a third-party grade. It has to have the adjuster knowing about it, so don't just sit back and wait 2 months later and say, oh, my Mr. Crop Insurance Agent, I had a problem here. Well, you didn't turn it in on time. Help us out. Turn it in. We'd love to pay you because we want to sell you insurance next year.
So the 82.5 cents, I saw you shaking your head on the soybeans and making sales and adding that in. What are you telling customers about the decisions to make a soybean sale and how they add in the mitigation payments?
Well, I prefer to work outside of the mitigation payments with the idea that I never trust that we're going to get them, but it's at the same point, you know, it's a circumstance where I think it comes down to understanding, like this year, because we had such great potential, we pushed really forward on making forward sales. Just saying, whatever you got to take to town, you got to cover. You just don't have a choice. And a lot of guys took advantage of that. There are plenty of guys out there have not taken advantage of that. All right. And so then with them, you sit down and say, okay, here's where you're at. Let's look at what that 82.5 cents will do for you. You know, and now let's. Are you willing to make a sale at this point? You know, it's really hard for some guys to pull the trigger at these prices, you know, and especially with the basis levels. And it depends upon where you are. Are you North Dakota, South Dakota, or are you in a better place like Illinois? You know, and so it varies according to where you're talking, what farmer you're talking to, and where he lives. But I think, you know, you have to just try and tailor it the best you can to the personality of the client and to trying to help them remain profitable, and that's the hardest thing there is when you've had high prices in the past.
And that's really what I was looking at, is if you got profitability there. To me, I think this bean market's just on eggshells. I think everybody thinks if we get the tariff situation solved, it's going to rally bean market. Yeah. As we were going through all that tariff consternation there, they raised the yield 5 bushel an acre on as we were going through the summer. We got to keep that in mind. Yep. We raised a lot of beans. We got 800 million bushel carryout. That's a big number.
Yeah. I would say that because I was in the building last night here in Champaign County with the Secretary of Agriculture talking about these mitigation programs, and he was asked several times about it, that I am more convinced today than I was yesterday, or the day prior to being in that room, that the full amount is likely to be coming. Certainly the 82.5 cents has already been delivered by checks to many people, including myself. Thank you very much. Wayne's pointing at me. And so that part's coming. And I'm more convinced now that the other part is coming. He also was pretty clear that unless they can come up with a different calculation, there won't be any difference from one side of the Corn Belt to the other. It was just too hard to do. And he was also pretty clear that it's going to come, and that it's not likely we'll settle anything with China between now and the time December rolls around. He would be very happy that that was the case, and if it was, and he used a number. I think I have it recorded, but he used a number. If we rallied $2 on soybeans, and that's the number he used, then there wouldn't be a payment. But if we rallied $2 on soybeans, I don't think anybody would worry about that very much. Let's talk a little bit about the 2019 crop. Is there reason, Kurt, to consider marketing any of the 2019 crop, whether it be corn, soybeans, or wheat?
We feel so. We got a little start when DEIS-19 traded 405. It's not enough, but we're optimistic. Maybe we can pop it. But we like marking it and then covering it for a 50 cent up just to protect yourself, because the way this math goes, we're going to have a lot more corn acres this coming year, we feel. As far as beans go, I think you got to have some downside protection there. Also wheat, if we see that the wheat went in fairly well for the most part. So I think there is downside risk. Overall, we're in a trading range. We get to the upper end, you gotta protect yourself.
Yes, wholeheartedly. We put wheat on when it got above $6 for the wheat that we got planted this fall. Had a lot of trouble getting it in. This corn, yes, we're at the 10 to 15% level. Beans, the same difference. And we're looking at it ahead, that we have to plan ahead. We have to do what the Secretary of Agriculture said. We can't figure that we're going to get a great big bump from here, from the Chinese settlement. You know, next year, Brazil's looking good. Argentina's looking good. We've got a humongous carryover. And even if we do say we're going to sell to them, there's a whole lot of beans, and the price isn't going to be very darn good, because just like before, when Brazil produced well, the price went down. When we were the only ones in the ballpark, we could hold the price up. But I think we're looking more at $9 beans being what $10 beans were.
Yeah, I would agree with that 1,000%. And, you know, we've been aggressive on 19 crop. And I'll give you a couple of reasons, even beyond that, why, beyond more acreage or anything else. I think one of the main things that's a driver of our market right now is the elections down in South America, which are taking place on Sunday. And it looks like Bolsonaro is going to win. He's heavily favored anyway. And he is what you would call the Brazilian farmer's friend. Okay, he's been running on a platform of removing the rules that you have to keep 20% of your land in trees and only farm 80%. If he removes that thing, that's 20% extra land that comes into the marketplace in a very short amount of time, you know. And so I think if Bolsonaro does indeed win, we're just going to see more livestock, more beans, more corn, more everything coming out of South America. And so I think you have to recognize that that's where we're headed. You know, and so you can't keep hoping that things are going to change and going to be, you've got to keep up with what's going on. And South America is a key to us. Now, everybody's saying, okay, South America is going to run out of beans. Well, I'll tell you, the South American farmer's really made the adjustment. He's planted a lot of short maturity beans, and he's probably going to be in the marketplace the middle of December rather than the middle of January, which we, you know, people here were figuring that was going to be their big opportunity. And I just don't think it's going to be their big opportunity. The only thing that could bring us opportunity, Todd, is that the South American farmer is a lot like the American farmer. You know, he gets paid on the U.S. dollar. If the U.S. dollar continues to be strong, he'll sit on his crop. He won't move his crop unless the government comes in and does something. And if that's the case, that means they're going to put some taxes onto it, is what they'll do to force the farmer to bring it to town. But you can imagine what it's been like down there with the trucking situation is out of control. You know, the new toll wakes, it's just a horrid situation for farmers in general. And so, you know, how they're going to respond, we don't know. But all I can tell you is if Bolsonaro wins, it changes the playing field for us, because it changes the playing field to a better place for them.
Bill, the 2019 sales, and then I think we'll start in on the final words, and we'll get that from you as well.
Okay, I think you need to pick your spots. We've got a long time between now and 2019 harvest. I think having a plan, starting, for example, at 410 on December corn and working your way up to a 430 level or something like that, where do you want to be at those levels? I think soybeans, you know, I'm not sure I want to chase the market down here, but I think there's certainly spots if I can get somewhere even close to that $9 cash number for next fall. I think those are levels that you need to start at. But we do have a long ways to go. China has committed themselves to buying their beans from South America, so a weather problem there really means a lot more than it did a year ago. So that's kind of where I'm at. Lay out a scale-up plan and have it ready to execute whenever you get the chance. Final word, I just want to reemphasize, I think, as guys are finishing up, you know where your yields are at. Make sure you kind of know where your dollars per acre are at, because that's what you pay your bills with, and, make your decisions based from there. I think this corn situation, the farmer did a great job of putting the corn away, but don't forget it's got to come out of storage at some point.
Bill Mayer, of course, is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities.
Yeah, if you're bullish beans on selling this tariff, I think Jackie was dead on. You've got about 2 months in here after that, kiss it goodbye, because those boats are lined up in the southern hemisphere. Second point is, if I do crop insurance, Wayne's going to be my crop insurance agent. You did well, Wayne. Then, two, the best day to color your hair is going to be October 24th. Best day to ask for loans, October 26th. If you like to can, pickle, or make sauerkraut, the 29th and 30th.
Always like your expertise in many, many areas. Kurt Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. Your final word, please.
Well, it's been a full moon last night, and tonight is going to be the full moon. So, by God, that's why it's strange, and that's why we're all so crazy here today. But I'm here to tell you there are some good things happening, and it's going to be okay. I listened to Agribull this morning, and he tells me it's going to rain Thursday, Friday, and back in a little bit on Sunday. And that way, and then in the middle of next week again. So that's going to slow this harvest down and give us a little chance maybe for this basis to pop back in. And maybe, just maybe, we can hold these 62 and 50% retracements that we got here on Thursday.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson.
Well, I can't say it much better than the other guys have said it, other than I do agree with Wayne. The one thing that I did forget to mention just before was that, when you looked at our Chinese bean sales losses, and you look at what other countries have picked up, we're actually only net down by about 2.5 metric tons overall expected use for this next year. That's pretty phenomenal. I suspect that China's already using our beans. They're just buying them from someone else who's buying them from us. So it looks like they're not buying them from us. And so I think that there are bright spots there. But again, you just have to be prepared. That's all that's the name of the game. You need to know what's going to work for you on your farm. Who cares what anybody else thinks? Just do what's right for you.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online, listen to the whole of our programming anytime you would like at WILLAG.org. Our thanks go to our panelists today, including Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson, and Bill Mayer at Strategic Farm Marketing. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.